Okay, I want to just do one more case. Dr. Schwartz?
Okay. This is a 62-year-old real estate office manager who in June 2004 presented with a 3-centimeter right breast mass as well as palpable right axillary and right supraclavicular lymphadenopathy. She underwent core biopsy of both the breast mass and the supraclavicular node, and it demonstrated an infiltrating ductal carcinoma, ER and PR negative, but by FISH, HER2-new was borderline amplified with a ratio of 2.2. And she had a negative metastatic workup.
So, Vicente, can you talk about how you think through her therapy, and what do you think about an amplification of 2.2?
Well, it is amplified, so is ER negative, is PR negative? You said nuclear grade. I didn't hear that one.
Yeah, I believe it was grade 2.
Before you get off the amplification thing, is there any correlation between degree of amplification and response to trastuzumab?
The data is evolving. We'll have that information from BCRG006 because we have all 3,000 patients that were gene amplified. And you can develop a hypothesis that they may have not as much overproduction of protein. But at the current time, I will treat her like she's HER2-new positive.
What specifically would you likely use?
Well, as you're aware, this lady has locally advanced breast cancer, and in our institution, there is two ways that you can approach that. You can use our institutional approach, which is to give them 6 months' worth of neoadjuvant chemotherapy plus trastuzumab, like we just recently presented in San Antonio, and the first 20 patients were published in the JCO, and where we give them a paclitaxel plus Herceptin for 3 months, and then we give them FEC75 plus Herceptin for 3 months, and our pathologic and complete remission in patients that there were 2 and 3A, not 3Cs, that were not included in that trial, was 65%. You can say, what about if you translate, what is the best therapy in the adjuvant setting? Well, the best therapy is what you have been discussing, and you can also do AC times 4, weekly paclitaxel, or every 3 weeks docetaxel, plus Herceptin times 4, so that's 6 months. Then you do surgery, and then you can give them, you just start your point entry of the therapy was before the surgery versus after the surgery. So I don't think you get neoadjuvant chemotherapy, adjuvant chemotherapy, there's no difference. You get the same therapy. So that will allow you to kind of establish to see your therapy work and downstage the patient for her to have her local regional therapy. So I think that two ways could be the way to approach this particular patient.
Rowan, of course, the controversial thing about the MD Anderson regimen is they're giving an anthracycline and trastuzumab together. What would you likely use for a patient like this?
Yeah, so I was impressed with the lack of cardiac toxicity as presented at San Antonio. It looked like there wasn't much, you know, with giving the concurrent.
There's one patient out of 40.
Yeah.
So you make the math on that.
In short duration, but we haven't done that. And these are the kind of patients we treat almost exactly the same way, neoadjuvant AC with a taxane followed with the Herceptin. And like I said, we're rethinking that because we have so many patients that go to AC and don't get to the best therapy and say, what would be wrong with switching around, giving the taxane first with the Herceptin, given some surgery, some time off, get rid of some of the Herceptin, and give the anthracycline or whatever. So basically, we're pretty impressed that we may end writing that up on a large number of people with large tumors that give the AC and you just don't get much out of them. But we'd still be doing that. Today, that's what I do. I do AC and then Taxol with Herceptin as neoadjuvant and then take them to surgery.
Okay, can we just quickly follow up on what happened with it? It's interesting. So many of these patients today fell in the window of clinical research today. This last year has been so amazing in cancer. And you have to find out exactly what the date was. A lot of people are diagnosed to figure out what was going on. When was she actually first treated?
She was, again, diagnosed in June of 2004. So it was
before the trastuzumab data.
And she actually entered a SWOG protocol of neoadjuvant therapy and was randomized to AC Q3 week times 5, followed by weekly Taxol times 12, and underwent in January 2005 a right modified radical mastectomy, and it was a complete pathologic response in the breast and the axilla. Since the supraclavicular node had completely responded, they didn't go after that, and she received post-mastectomy radiation to the chest wall, supraclav, and internal mammaries, which she completed in April 2005.
And of course, that's when the trastuzumab press release came out, and I'm sure that generated a discussion about trastuzumab. What happened?
Right. I saw her again in her first follow-up in July 2005, and based on the data, we had a discussion, and I offered a little bit of delayed Herceptin. It was about a six-month delay, and she agreed to go on to Herceptin, and I did do a pre-treatment MUGA scan, and she had an ejection fraction of 58%. Received Q3 weekly Herceptin at 3 months. We did a follow-up MUGA scan, and her ejection fraction had dropped to 45%, from which she was obviously asymptomatic. And at that point, taking everything together, weighing a little bit the borderline 2.2 ratio on the HER2-new and her complete response to chemotherapy, we decided to call it quits and stop all therapy.
Rowan?
It's impossible to disagree with that. I mean, basically, you really end up having, did you need it in the first place, and then stopping when you get to some signal for toxicity. The duration question, and of course, the FinHER trial, you know, raises that issue, 9 weeks versus not, almost no cardiac toxicity. Cliff was talking about the French trial now has a national trial looking at 6 months versus 12 months. And so to get Herceptin, you need to be on the trial in France. So that's their solution to the question. So we'll have a 6 versus 12 month answer, and then 2 year versus one, but I would stop the patient there.
You talked about the issue of ejection fractions dropping on AC. Another common clinical question I hear from oncologists is, what about the patient who drops the 15 points that was specified in the trials that would cause you to stop therapy, but still above normal? Vicente, how do you approach those patients?
It's all about the race, and that won't stop me from giving the patient Herceptin. As you know, I have done a lot of cardiac toxicity studies, and you know, the patient is dehydrated, the patient is tachycardic, the patient wake up on the right side versus the left, and you know, there has a lot of variation. Even the same day, you can run the test, and there is variations on that, and you know, focusing on your patient, you know, the patient had a pathological complete remission when he has a lot of disease. And it happens in our trial, the patients basically were HER2-new positive, and given Taxol and FEC, we have a 25% PCR, so that could be one of your patients. The question is, what is it, the residual risk that that patient has? And again, and you look, you just published a paper in the JCO, just came out just a couple of weeks ago, and we look at the patients that were cytologically proven in the axilla by fanial aspiration, and we give them chemotherapy neoadjuvantly, and those that when they went to surgery, they had a pathological axilla, not in breast, but pathological axillary complete remission, 90% of the patients were free of disease at 5 years, and that includes all patients with breast cancer, not HER2-new like yours. So what is the risk that she had, and somebody got that effective therapy and had a PCR? So I think that I incline you, knowing that you have smaller risk, you were not willing to keep up with that 45. If she went from 58 to 45, it could be within the range that you could, you know, in the trials, you will stop and repeat the MOGA a month later, and it's just better, you will put them back on. But I mean, I think your clinical judgment was very acceptable. I will concur. If she was having, you know, like she had a one positive note after what you gave her, you know, I may have pursued additional therapy and monitor cardiac function. But, I mean, I think you did the right thing for your patient.